Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house this morning, and happy Easter, everybody. What a journey it's been to get here this morning. Just a few days short of a year ago, Easter Sunday, April 12, 2020, we awoke to a world that was mostly shut down. Church services weren't allowed, and so we listened to Pastor Dennis's pre-recorded message online. All but the most essential retail was closed, and we were advised to avoid family gatherings for Easter dinner. So most of us spent the day with only those who live in our immediate households. This year is different, of course. We are allowed to worship in person, but some of our traditions do still remain on hold. We certainly miss our Easter sunrise service and Easter breakfast and our new favorite tradition of flowering of the cross. And of course, we miss our tradition of communion around the Lord's table, but as we celebrated that for almost 200 years here in the Berry community. But most importantly, we do have hope that by this time next year, we can resume many, if not all, of our treasured faith traditions. We will ask each of you at the end of our service to wait for the ushers to dismiss you row by row so we can remain in compliance with our city and county ordinances for social distancing. And we continue to request that each of you do continue to contact a church office by Thursday of each week so that we can keep track of attendance registration and stay on the up and up with our city and county authorities. So we're certainly glad to see all of you here this morning. Welcome again, folks, to the Lord's house. And Andrew, my friend, would you lead our call to worship, please?
Good morning. Please rise for the call to worship. Let us give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This fills us with a living hope, and so we look forward to possessing the rich blessings that God keeps for his people. He always keeps them for you in heaven, where they cannot decay or spoil or fade away. Let us sing our opening hymn, Christ Arose, hymn number 224. We'll sing all stanzas.
From the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, alleluia, Christ arose. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they see the dead, Jesus my Lord. From the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, alleluia, Christ arose. Death cannot keep its prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, alleluia, Christ arose.
May we bow for a word of prayer. Eternal God, for the privilege to worship and fellowship in person, we give you thanks for the country we live in that allows us the freedom of worship. We give you thanks for our basic necessities of shelter, food, and clothing. We give you thanks, and for the fellowship of our like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ who worship with us in your house this morning. We give you thanks. Gracious God, we seek the presence of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we begin our Easter worship service. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. Take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you this morning before having your seats.
Good morning to each of you. It certainly is a joy to see all of you in the Lord's house on this Easter Sunday morning. Praise God that we're privileged to be able to lift up worship and praise to God. As we go to God in prayer, a number of folks for us to remember. First of all, Grace Kimberling had to return to North Kansas City Hospital the latter part of this week, so please keep her in your prayers. Joan Casebolt and Betty Foster are both now out of the hospital, and we wish them the very best in continued recovery, as we're also remembering Marcia Dietrich and Jerry Treese, Perla Mora. And Brad, we are so glad that you're able to be with us here this morning with Lauren and with Doris. Bless you. We'll keep you in prayer in the midst of your personal concerns as well. And also we're lifting up Tucker in our prayers, Doris, every day. And additionally, in family members, we're remembering Robin Hamilton and Naomi Segovia, Richard Dakin, Anna Hext, Kay Murray, Marilyn Williams. We're just praising God that a number of people we've been lifting up are making better progress here as this past week has moved forward. Ruth Ann, we're certainly continuing to remember Rihanna in our prayers every day as well, and also Cindy Sexton's stepmother Carolyn in our prayers, and Pat Reese, as well as Susan Mayberger, Jim Moore, Dennis Medley, Stacy Lustig, and Karen Davis, and Beverly Hagen. But it is indeed a joy to see so many of you here in the Lord's house, as we are privileged to gather here on this Easter Sunday morning. May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer, please. Holy and gracious God, with joyful hearts, we offer thanksgiving for the privilege to assemble in your house of worship this Easter Sunday morning. We rejoice because we know that as Christ was obedient to your plan, he achieved the task necessary to claim his place as the final sacrifice for the forgiveness of humanity's sin. As Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 affirms, Christ offered one sacrifice for sins, an offering that is effective forever, and then he sat down at the right side of God. It is Christ's victory over sin and death that we celebrate on this day of resurrection. For as the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, thanks be to God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Loving God, as the episodes of violence continue to prevail in our country and across the world stage, we so often wonder what victory may one day come that can offer peace and harmony in our time or in any other. Yet with your Spirit's guidance, may we not be overcome with the despair that Satan wishes to instill within our hearts as he exacts his evil ways through the thoughts, motivations, and actions of those swayed by his influence. For as the Scripture reminds us in Romans chapter 16, verse 20, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. And may we affirm your plan for humanity's salvation, as Galatians chapter 1, verse 4 tells us that Christ was the one who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. So even as evil forces may continue to threaten the peace and harmony of your world, O God, may it be with significant assurance that our hearts remain in confident assurance of your peace and victory for one and all. As Revelation chapter 3, verse 12 tells us, he who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. This be our prayer on this Resurrection Sunday, as we also recite the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
God sent his Son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he cross the river. I'll to fight life's final war with pain. But greater still gives way to victory. I'll see the light of glory, and I know He lives. I know He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living. Worth the living, just because He lives. I know my Jesus lives. I know He lives. My Redeemer lives.
Wow. One nice thing about being part of the whole service is I get to hear that three times this morning. Good morning and happy Easter. Each week I stand here and share a few pictures and bits of conversations I've had with some of our youngest members. This Easter Sunday, I wanted to share a little bit more. And by the way, I love that we have so many of our little ones here today. Today, I share a few pictures of our Easter memories. Traditionally, our celebrations of the Easter season would begin with a dispensing of small blessings and an ashen symbol of faith on Ash Wednesday. Lenten suppers and encouraging messages from Pastor Dennis each Wednesday during the Lent season would remind us of the many sacrifices our Lord made for us. And I have an assistant. In the past, volunteers would spend many hours preparing for the celebration of Easter party and our Easter egg hunt. Our children would help to celebrate Easter and Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem with the beginning of Holy Week, with the waving of palms and praises to God on Palm Sunday. And of course, we would have our Maundy Thursday memorial dinner commemorating Christ's final meal with his disciples. Today, Easter Sunday would usually start out very early with sunrise service followed by a breakfast that's prepared by our youth. Each service, we would celebrate the risen Christ with special music from our choir as we watched our children at the flowering of the cross. All of these traditions we miss so much. Yet, we can still rejoice in the message of Easter. I hope my small Easter memories pictorial gave you a reason to smile this morning. And I pray each of you today leave here secure in the knowledge that although conditions in the world may take away our traditions, nothing can take away the love of God. As it is written in 1 John 4:10, this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. God bless you all and happy Easter.
Thank you, Kathy. Yes, indeed, we do certainly look forward to resuming our children's ministries. I notice Jackson seems to be getting his exercise this morning, doesn't he? Chasing his little sister down here. That's right, our goodwill ambassador, yes. We also look forward to resuming our celebration of the Lord's Supper here at the communion table. But for now, of course, we are limited by our social contact restrictions. So maybe turn to our community reflection, which is inspired by Romans 8:11 and 6:23, beginning at the bottom of the first inside page of your bulletin. If the Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from death, lives in you, sin pays its wage, death, but God's free gift is eternal life in union with Christ Jesus our Lord. Our hymn of contemplation this morning is number 225, I Know That My Redeemer Liveth. We'll sing all stanzas.
My Redeemer liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. I know eternal life he giveth, that grace and power are in his hand. I know that Jesus liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. I know that life he giveth, that grace and power are in his hand. I know his promise never faileth, the word he speaks, it cannot die. Thou cruel death my flesh assaileth, yet I shall see him by and by. I know that Jesus liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. I know that life he giveth, that grace and power are in his hand. I know my mansion he prepareth, that where he is, there I may be. Oh, wondrous thought for me he careth, and he at last will come for me. I know that Jesus liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. I know that life he giveth, that grace and power are in his hand.
Scripture text I share with you this morning, this is from John's Gospel, the 11th chapter, beginning with the first verse and then another section beyond this. A man named Lazarus, who lived in Bethlehem, became sick. Bethany was the town where Mary and her sister Martha lived. This Mary was the one who poured the perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was sick. The sister sent Jesus a message, "Lord, your dear friend is sick." When Jesus heard it, he said, "The final result of this sickness will not be the death of Lazarus, This has happened in order to bring glory to God, and it will be the means by which the Son of God will receive glory. Jesus saw her, meaning Mary, weeping, and he saw how the people with her were weeping also. His heart was touched, and he was so deeply moved. "Where have you buried him?" he asked them. "Come and see, Lord," they answered. Jesus wept. "See how much he loved him," they said. But some of them said, "He gave sight to the blind man, didn't he? Could he not have kept Lazarus from dying?" Deeply moved once more, Jesus went to the tomb, which was a cave with a stone placed at the entrance. "Take the stone away," Jesus ordered. Martha, the dead man's sister, answered, "There'll be a bad smell, Lord. He's been buried 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believed?" They took the stone away. Jesus looked up and said, "I thank you, Father, that you listen to me. I know that you always listen to me, but I say this for the sake of the people here, so that they will believe that you sent me." After he said this, he called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And he came out, his hands and feet wrapped in grave cloths and with a cloth around his face. "Untie him," Jesus said to them. "Let him go." May we offer a word of prayer. Merciful and gracious God, we're privileged to be here in your house on this day in which we celebrate the resurrection of your Son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We rejoice in Christ's power over sin and even death itself. And as Christ has risen, we know, so also shall we. In Christ's name we give thanks to worship you and study your word. Amen. One might find it rather odd to be reading about the raising of Lazarus from the tomb on the day in which we actually celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But during this year's Lenten series, See Jesus, See God, we have been emphasizing the words and deeds of Jesus as they reveal so very much about God to us. And of all of the powerful events that Jesus shared with people, certainly none is more powerful than Jesus calling upon the power of God to raise Lazarus. And not only Lazarus, but two other people from the clutches of death itself. First, there was Jairus' daughter. Then there was the renewal of the life of the son of the widow from Nain. And thirdly, here we see Lazarus walking out of the tomb after he had been dead for 4 days. Jesus' resurrection was solely the work of God. But what we have understood here in this series is the power of God inherent in Jesus Christ, right? That's what we've been talking about all through these last several weeks. And yet what we see here is Jesus raising up three in order to reveal the great grace and power of our loving God. But as we've been looking at this series, See Jesus, See God, we may wonder, why was it that Jesus went to the trouble to raise three people from death? After all, they all die again, do they not? Just like we've asked the question, why did Jesus go to so much trouble to heal so many people when they certainly had other illnesses that eventually took their lives anyway? Certainly we understand it is to reveal the power of God, but what we have seen through all of these texts that we have looked at since the beginning of the Lenten season is that the theme that has prevailed time and time again is that great compassion of God that we see in the deeds and words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this continues to be the theme that is the greatest message of all throughout his entire ministry, that God loves you. Look back with me at what we've already explored. On the 7th of March, Matthew chapter 9, when Jesus saw the crowds, his heart was filled with compassion for them because they were worried and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And we remember from that Sunday that Jesus decided to earnestly teach a new spiritual way of worshiping and serving God to give them hope in their relationship with God. Then on the 14th of March, John chapter 8, Jesus chose not to condemn the woman caught in adultery, but instead chose to redeem her, even though her accusers were wanting her to be put to death. March the 21st, Matthew chapter 20, Jesus stopped along the roadside and asked the blind man or men, whichever text you happen to be looking at, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they asked to have their sight restored, and Jesus immediately responded by doing so out of great compassion for them. Last Sunday, on Palm Sunday, we looked at Matthew chapter 21. We decided not to look so much at Jesus coming into Jerusalem, because we've done that many times before, but we looked at the Monday after Palm Sunday. Jesus drove out the corrupt merchants from the temple, but then he also healed so many people who had gathered around him in that outer court of the Gentiles in the Jerusalem temple, yet again revealing his great compassion for the justice that God had aspired for his people, and yet also the need to heal and to care for God's people. So time and again, simply out of compassion, Jesus gets up close and personal with God's people, and he provides for their needs. And here, this Easter Sunday morning, as we're looking at three resurrection stories, what we see once again is this continuation of Jesus' compassion, that he is very up close and personal in his willingness to provide for the concerns at hand. First of all, we look at Mark chapter 5. Jairus was a wealthy patron of the Jewish synagogue in Galilee. And even as the servants of Jairus' household arrive and tell Jairus that his daughter is already dead and that there's no need to bother the rabbi, Jesus still comforts Jairus and encourages him to have faith. And then Jesus willingly walks the distance to Jairus' house in order to see about the daughter's concern. Jesus then includes Jairus and his wife along with Peter, James, and John as he enters the dead child's room while the mourning is continuing in the household and outside as everyone is bemoaning the death of this young child. And yet Jesus takes the deceased child's hand and says, "Little girl, I tell you, get up." And she is brought back to life. And Jesus doesn't stop there. He still is thinking about the pragmatic concerns as he says, "Give her something to eat." She knew she had personal and physical needs. Even at that moment of being risen from the dead, here Christ is still concerned for her welfare. And then as we look at Luke chapter 7, this is the story of Jesus returning life to the widow's son. Jesus meets the funeral procession on the road outside of the town of Nain. Jesus and his disciples could have easily paused in respect for the procession, much like you might stop your car and be on a curbside while you wait for the procession to proceed. Jesus could have very easily done just that, just stopped and waited as they walked by. But Jesus, in his great compassion, knew that the widow was destined to a life of abject poverty as her only son and source of livelihood is now dead. And so Mark chapter 7, verse 13 tells us that when the Lord saw her, his heart was filled with compassion for her. And Jesus approaches the woman and says to her, "Don't cry." And then Jesus does the unthinkable. He touches the dead corpse, making himself unclean. And yet, out of great love and desire to provide care, he touches that dead corpse, and then he says, "Young man,
get up, I tell you."
And verse 15 of the text says that the dead man sat up, and he begins to
talk, and Jesus gives
him back to his mother. And Jesus, therefore, gives back life, not only to the son, but to the mother, as she now has a means of making a living for the duration of her life. Simply out of compassion, Jesus just doesn't stand by the roadside while the morning passes by. Jesus intervenes and offers new life. And now, we look at the story again of Lazarus' resurrection in John's Gospel. Lazarus, Martha, and Mary are dear friends of Jesus, with whom he and his disciples find solace while residing in the comfort of their home in Bethany, just outside of Jerusalem. But while Jesus is away, Lazarus falls ill, and in a few days he dies. Yet Jesus in John chapter 11 says, "The final result of his sickness will not be the death of Lazarus. This has happened in order to bring glory to God, and it will be the means by which the Son of God will receive glory." So certainly we know one of the reasons for the resurrection experiences of these three people is to bring glory to God, so that people might believe that Jesus is in fact the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah. But at the same time, this story also continues to involve so much of Christ's great compassion. This compassion springs forth in John chapter 11 as Jesus' heart is deeply touched as he sees Mary weeping. And the text tells us that Jesus was deeply moved. And that 31st verse says that even Jesus himself cries at the sense of loss that is being experienced here. Jesus asked to be taken to the place where Lazarus' body is buried, and at the site he commands, "Roll away the stone." But Martha, the pragmatic of the two sisters, she says, Oh Lord, it's going to be a bad smell. He's been dead 4 days after all. What do you mean, roll away the stone? We've had enough of this. This is over. And yet, Jesus persists. He says, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believed?" And so the men roll that stone away. And Jesus declares, "Lazarus, come out." Lazarus comes out of the tomb, still wrapped up in those grave cloths, and Jesus says, "Untie him, let him go." In other words, unfetter him from the burden of death. And Lazarus is alive. But why? Why were three given new life? Wouldn't it be sufficient enough just to have Jesus alone raise up from the grave? Well, first, again, as we've been saying all through this Lenten series, one of the great things that is revealed here through the resurrection of these three dear souls is the profound compassion that Christ reveals for those who have such great need. And what greater need could there be than for one's life to be cut short here on earth? And second, here we see three human beings are being raised from the dead. When we think of Christ's resurrection, we say, oh, well, sure, yeah, that works. Because we say, well, Jesus is part of God anyway. So since he's of God, well, that's kind of a God thing. But that doesn't do much for me, right? It's easy for us to separate ourselves from the God stuff and think, oh, well, we're just here, human beings over here muddling around in our own stuff. But Jairus' daughter, the widow's son, and Lazarus, these are fallible mortals just like you and me. And yet Jesus chooses to raise them from the dead. In the resurrection of mere mortals, Jesus is helping you and me to also identify with their resurrection and the hope of our resurrection also. Thus, Jesus raises three mortals from the dead so that you and I might believe in the possibility of our own resurrection in Christ. You see, we so often think Easter's all about Jesus, and it is. But Easter is also about you. All of you. We know John 3:16, but we need to add that 17th verse. Again, we know it from the King James Version, most of all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. What is the key to that? You have to be willing to believe. Believe with all your heart, soul, and mind that Jesus is, in fact, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And believe that as you repent of your sin, Christ can redeem your soul. But as the text continues in the 17th verse, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So once again, what do we see in that 17th verse? Compassion is written all over it. Compassion for you. And our repentance and confession of faith are the link that assures us of our own resurrection. And that's why for the responsive reading, I included Romans chapter 8, verse 11. If the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from death lives in you, how does the Spirit live in you? Through your confession of faith. But if the Spirit lives in you, then he who raised Christ from death will also give life to our mortal bodies by the presence of his Spirit in you. And also, as Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 22, you have been set free from sin. Your gain is a life fully dedicated to him. And the result is eternal life. For sin pays its wage death, as verse 23 continues. But God's free gift is eternal life in union with Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so, on this Easter Sunday morning, are you willing to believe that Jesus died on the cross to become the final sacrifice for humanity's sin, your sin, that has separated you from God? Are you also willing to believe that Jesus rose from the grave on the third day so that all humanity and even you are given the avenue of salvation? Are you willing to believe that Jesus raised three mortals so that you may be willing to believe that even your mortal life can also be resurrected from death? Where are you in your relationship to God this Easter Sunday morning? Can you with certainty say, yes, I have made my confession of faith. I have been redeemed. I will be resurrected. Maybe today is your day to make that confession. Or maybe today is your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation to you as we turn to our hymn number 222, Christ is risen, shout Hosanna, we'll sing all stanzas, please.
Christ is risen, shout Hosanna, celebrate this day of days. Christ is risen, hush in wonder, all creation is amazed. In the desert, all surrounding, see a spreading tree has grown. Healing leaves of grace abounding, bring a taste of love unknown. Christ is risen, raise your spirits from the caverns of despair. Walk with gladness in the morning, see what love can do and dare. Drink the wine of resurrection, not a servant, but a friend. Jesus is our strong companion, joy and peace shall never end. Christ is risen, earth and heaven, evermore shall be the same. Break the bread of new creation, where the world is still in pain. Tell its grim demonic chorus, Christ is risen, get you gone. God the first and last is with us, sing Hosanna, everyone.
It is indeed a joy to see each of you here in the Lord's house this Easter Sunday morning. And we wish you the very best as you journey forward with whatever task and times of fellowship you may have this day. May we bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, as we depart, your Spirit empowers us to know the truth, that through Christ's resurrection, so are we. And this we rejoice in as we indeed step forward into the new week, being reminded of the joy, peace, and celebration that is ours in Christ, our Lord and Savior. It's in his name that we give thanks as we depart. Amen.
Oh, Christ, the way, the truth, the life, be with us now, we pray. Direct our steps as we go forth to do your will this day. Oh, faithful guide, renew our trust in love that does not fail, and give us strength to work and pray, that peace may soon prevail.